They sit on the old cane hampers of the linen room, looking at each other. "I think he is an Englishman," she says. "I know you love the man, but he's not an Englishman. In the early part of the war, I was working in Cairo, the Tripoli Axis, Rommel's Rebecca spy."
"What do you mean, Rebecca spy?"
"In 1942, the Germans sent a spy called Eppler into Cairo before the Battle of El Alamein. He used a copy of Daphne du Maurier's novel Rebecca as a code book to send messages back to Rommel on troop movements. The man who guided Eppler through the desert into Cairo on Rommel's personal orders was Count Ladislaus de Ormachy. This was a stretch of desert that, it was assumed, no one could cross. Between the wars, Ormachy had English friends, great explorers, but when war broke out, he went with the Germans. Rommel asked him to take Eppler across the desert into Cairo because it would have been too obvious by plane or parachute. He crossed the desert with the guy and delivered him to the Nile Delta.
You know a lot about this, Hannah says.
I was based in Cairo. We were tracking them. From Giallo, he led a company of 8 men into the desert. They had to keep digging the trucks out of the sandhills. He aimed them toward Uwainat and its granite plateau so they could get water, take shelter in the caves. It was a halfway point. In the 1930s, he had discovered caves with rock paintings there. But the plateau was crawling with allies, and he couldn't use the wells there. He struck out into the sand desert again. They raided British petrol dumps to fill up their tanks. In the Karga oasis, they switched into British uniforms and hung British army number plates on their vehicles. When they were spotted from the air, they hid in the wadis for as long as 3 days, completely still, begging to death in the sand. It took them 3 weeks to reach Cairo. Ormachy shook hands with Eppler and left him. This is where we lost him. He turned and went back into the desert alone. The British picked up Eppler eventually and used the Rebecca code to feed false information to Rommel about El Alamein.
I still don't believe it, David, Hannah said.
The thing about Ormachy was he could fly. We are talking about someone who crashed in a plane. Here is this man, burned beyond recognition, who somehow ends up in the arms of the English at Pisa.
Hannah sat on the hamper watching Caravaggio. She said, I think we should leave him be. It doesn't matter what side he was on, does it?
Caravaggio said, I'd like to talk with him some more, with more morphine in him. Talking it out, both of us, do you understand? To see where it will all go. You will have to give him the altered shot.
No, David, you're too obsessed. It doesn't matter who he is, the war's over.
I will, then. I'll cook up a Brompton cocktail. Morphine and alcohol. They invented it at Brompton Hospital in London for their cancer patients. Don't worry, it won't kill him.
Hannah watched him sitting on the hamper, clear-eyed, smiling.
During the last stages of the war, Caravaggio had become one of the numerous morphia thieves. He had sniffed out her medical supplies within hours of his arrival. The small tubes of morphine were now a source for him. He carried 2 or 3 in his pocket all day, slipping the fluid into his flesh.
Leave him alone, she said. He's my patient.
I won't damage him, Caravaggio said. The morphine and alcohol will take away the pain.